So here we are on Christmas Eve. We've just looked at the themes of Advent. What were they again? Do you remember? The people that were here heard four messages in a row leading up to Christmas Eve. The first, do you remember the first theme? Anybody? Hope. Yes, hope. Hope was that first theme that we started with for the first Sunday of Advent, that hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. We have hope because of him. The second week we gathered together was peace. I think I was not here. Pastor Anton, I believe. No, yeah. Pastor Anton preached on the Prince of Peace, and that's Jesus himself. He gives us the gift of peace. What was the third Sunday? Joy. Joy. Remember the song we sang? Joy, joy, joy. Kind of a response or an echo. Yeah, the joy we have, again, it comes from him. We have joy because of Jesus and the joy he brings. And then the fourth Sunday, last Sunday, was love. Yeah, not the Valentine's necessarily kind of love, even though that's good. I'm talking more about the agape kind of love. The agape is the Greek word for love. That's the divine kind of love. That's the gift kind of love. That's the no strings attached kind of love that God gives. And he showed it to us by sending his son, Jesus. So tonight we celebrate and think about Advent, the season of Advent, and all those themes. But we also, you've cheated already. You've seen the bulletin. Christ, our light. He is the light of the world. And the light of the world that came into the world 2,000 years ago as a baby that grew up to be a man that died on a cross, was raised again 3 days later, is now interceding for all of us at the right hand of the Father. That light is coming again. We don't know when. He doesn't know when. The Father is the only one that knows. But as I tell my confirmation kids, we're one day closer. We're one day closer. Are you ready? The Apostle John talks about light. Let's take a look. Mary read a good portion of the text. We'll read it again, John 1, 1 through 14, and then we'll keep going. This Christmas Eve, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Father, thank you for sending Jesus to be the light of the world, to make us the light of the world, to save us from our sins. God, will you show us yourself, reveal yourself to us in and through Christ this day as we gather together in Jesus' name. Amen. I just love, again, the lights of Christmas. Again, it's just a reminder of the light that came so long ago for us all, the light of Christ that came, the light of the world. So John does not begin this text, this John 1 chapter, he does not begin with the Christmas story like other gospel writers do, but he begins before time itself. He reaches back to the very beginning when Moses wrote, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That's John writing, but he begins, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." That's Moses. And then the very next verse, God said, "Let there be light." One of the very first things he created was light. And he promised to send his son as that light in Genesis 3:15. So before there was a manger, before there was a Mary, before there was night or day, Christ already was. Christmas is not the beginning of Jesus. It's the moment when eternity steps into time. Darkness can also be a metaphor for sin. The Isaiah passage says, they have seen a great light. Because the world then and the world now is dark. We know this just when we look around. That this world is a very dark world. But the light of the world comes through that darkness and shines his light into our hearts and lives. And then he calls us the light of the world. John says something heartbreaking in this text, very heartbreaking for his people. Did not receive him. They missed completely the baby in the manger. They missed completely the promised anointed one, the Messiah who was to be born, to be the Savior of the world. They missed it. Some got it. Some saw it. Some experienced it. Some witnessed it. But many, many missed it. He was in the world and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. Creator walked among his creation and many missed him. Isn't that still true today? We all have family members or friends, acquaintances that we know of, co-workers, fellow students, classmates that don't know the light, don't have the light. But we do. And we can shine that light amongst them and hope and pray that one day they'll say yes to the light of the world, that they'll become the light of the world as well. But to all who received him, John continues, he gave power to become the children of God. Christmas is a time for giving and receiving gifts, and the greatest gift of all is Jesus. Then comes one of the most amazing sentences ever written. One of the most amazing sentences ever written in the Word of God and in Scripture. And here it is. And the Word became flesh and lived among us and dwelt among us. Let me tell you a story. This is a story that I heard a long time ago. Unknown author or storyteller. But it was told a number of years ago by Paul Harvey, if you're familiar with who that was, Paul Harvey, on the radio. Told this story about the man and the birds. Maybe you've heard it. I've told it before, a long time ago. I want to share that with you this Christmas Eve. The man and the birds. This man wasn't a Scrooge, necessarily. He lived out on a farm. And he was an honest and a decent man, loved his wife and children. But there was something about this man that he couldn't wrap his heart and mind around what the church folk believed about Jesus. That he came to this earth as a baby, as a man. The Word became flesh. He couldn't wrap his heart and mind around the incarnation. That's what it means from the Latin. In flesh, incarnation. It came time for the church service, the midnight service. We used to do that in Bismarck. We used to have an 11 o'clock midnight service. His wife and daughter and son were going to go to the service. But he said, I just feel like such a hypocrite. I don't believe in that incarnation stuff, what the church believes, especially around Christmas time. I'm just going to stay home. I'll wait up for you guys. So his wife and kids left. And he sat down. He got his paper, sat down by the fireplace, opened up his paper, and then thud. 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 What is that? So he goes to the door to investigate. And he opens the door, and it's these little birds had just hit the window. And they're chirping away right there, and they're freezing because the storm had started. It's really cold outside. The big breeze outside, and these birds are freezing. He doesn't want these birds to die, and he wants to take care of these birds. And so what do I do? And then he thought about the little pony. His kids have a little pony, and the little pony's in the barn. And so he said, hey, the barn. I can go open the door and light the light out in the barn, and they can go into a warm barn, and they'll be safe and warm. And so he gets on his boots and gets his overcoat on. He rushes out to the barn, opens the barn doors, and turns on the light, and he goes, birds! The barn! The birds didn't do anything. They were just chirping away and freezing. They weren't moving. It's, wow, okay, what do I do? Okay, birds like breadcrumbs. Okay, he runs in and gets the bread and pulls it out and gets the crumbs, and this will do it. He puts crumbs out, leading to the barn, the crumbs, and the birds just stood there. They didn't. They were chirping. They were freezing. They were shaking. They didn't move an inch. They didn't go to the barn. So then he tried to woo them and shoo them, and he's, hey, birds, get into the, get where it's warm, and there's a light, and you can see, and there's a pony. You can hang out with the pony. Go into the barn. They didn't move. What do I do? These birds are going to freeze. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. You know, what is it about these birds? Oh, they're afraid of me. They think I'm some big hairy creature. That's it. The birds are afraid of me, and that's why they won't go into the barn. If only, what if I could... If I could become maybe a little bird. What if I could become a bird? If I could become a bird, then I could speak their language, and I'd be able to chirp them into the barn and say, hey, you could save yourselves and go into the barn. If I became a bird, they wouldn't be afraid of me anymore. And they would follow me into the barn. And at that moment, we thought about that. Church bells rang from the distance. The bells, the tune was, O Come All Ye Faithful. And he heard the bells ringing. And he fell to his knees, started to weep. God finally got through. He understood what it meant when Jesus became a little baby. He became one of us so that he could understand us. He went through suffering and pain and sorrow, all to help us, to understand us when we go through it. He sympathizes with our weaknesses. He became one of us so that we wouldn't be afraid and that we would trust him to lead us not into the barn, but to heaven one day. So this Christmas Eve, as we think about the light of the world, Jesus said in John 8, let me read it. I am the light of the world. This is the words of Jesus. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Then in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew records Jesus' words, and Jesus says this. He says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And I think of these young people from all walks of life and all areas of the world have come to Hawaii, to different bases in the world, and they get trained up for 3 months, and then they go to an outreach. That's our daughter, Caitlin. She did it last October. She was in a foreign country for 2 months. She came back home, was here for three, then went to Hawaii again. I know it's rough, to Kona. Got trained up again. She's on staff with a team of eight. They just, like I said before, they just arrived. Why do they do that? Why will they go to all parts of the world, to the nations of the world, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why do they do that? They're crazy. They do it because the light of the world has given them hope and love and grace and mercy and has touched their heart in such a way that they want to do good deeds and honor their Father in heaven. And they want to see others join them. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. So don't hide it under a bowl or a basket. But let it shine. So whether you have little light or a lot of light, doesn't matter. Here's what matters. You have the light because Jesus is the light. And He's gifted you with His light. So let it shine wherever you are, so that others might see and come to believe like you. Amen and amen.